left off. Diana still needs one back there. Anybody else need a Sunday school book? Jeff. Anybody else need a book? Matt, you want to get two for you, one for you, one for Vanessa?
Sorry, one.
You sure? Okay, amen. All right. For those that are just joining us in the class, the subject matter here in the book is called Victory in Jesus. There's just a slew of topics that are here. This is dealing with experiencing the power of Christ in your daily life. If you want to go to the table of contents, you'll see victory over fear. That's where we're at right now. This is actually a class that the men were going through as their curriculum. And it's a good subject matter, and so we're all going to go through that. Victory over fear, temptation, stress, culture, adversity. The world, scoffers, family turmoil, injustice, the temporal world, the power of sin, national decline, and a wounded spirit. So some very, very, very good topics that we're going to be looking at in the days ahead. Right now, we were actually on, in your book, it would be page seven. Page seven in your book. Give us a little bit of time to fill in some of the blanks there, and then we're going to talk about what's going on here in the rest of part three. But before that, let's go ahead and read our scripture, John 14. John 14, and then we will go to the Lord in prayer. John 14, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. By the way, fear is something that's universal to all of us. We all have a fear of something. Some of us here fear spiders. Mm-hmm. Others fear snakes. Others fear bugs. If you were here on Wednesday night, we had the monsoon rains that came, and outside both doors was flooded with bugs. Whoa. I mean, flying bugs and crawling bugs. I mean, you just see them all out there. The kids did not want to go outside. And, you know, somebody went to vacuum the bugs up, and I thought you would be vacuuming all night long. Some folks are afraid of bugs. Others are afraid of being late. Some folks would be afraid of being poor. So a lot of things that people are afraid of. You know, say, preacher, what are you afraid of? Oh, I've got a lot of fears.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
I'm living one of my fears right now. You say, what is that? Standing before people. I do not like standing before people. I don't like it. You say, well, you're a preacher. That's not my doing. That's God's doing. Amen. So everybody has fears. Amen. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's some encouragement that we were left with the last time we met, recognizing that the future may be unknown. But God has something that he wants us to take some note of, that he is preparing a place for us and he is coming back to get us, those that have been saved. And what a blessing it is. So let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege of knowing that you're preparing a place for us in heaven. Lord, you're going to come back and receive us, and we're so excited about what heaven is going to be like. And Lord, we don't have all the details, but we do know that we've got our reservations in, those of us that are born again, those that have not made the appointment, they have not reserved a place in heaven. I pray that you would put upon their hearts the great need to be born again, and they would do so before it's everlasting too late. Bless now the moments that we have together. Thank you for Mr. Alan Moore being here, and also the Kayleys being here. Lord, use the time that we have, Lord, to Lord, just encourage us in the Word of God, and Lord, to make sure that the things of God are made known to us in a marvelous and miraculous way. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, let's fill in some blanks here. Going back to Roman numeral number 1, dealing with this subject, victory over fear, we have fear of unplanned circumstances. The fear of unplanned circumstances. So Roman numeral 1 is the fear of unplanned circumstances, if you're filling that in. Then your A would be the fear of the women. Fear of the women. The women had come to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, and he was not there. They had totally forgot about what he had said. And the unplanned circumstances necessitated the ladies having that fear, which should not have been there if they'd remembered the word of God, which would brought some constancy to their fears. Then B was the fear of the disciples. So Roman number one, the fear of unplanned circumstances, the fear of women, and the fear of the disciples. And again, unplanned circumstances are going to come, but we've got to trust in a God that knows all. And fall back on a verse that I always fall back on, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. It may be out of our range and out of our plans, but God knows exactly what he's doing. And so that's good. Roman number two, the fear of unmet expectations. The fear of unmet expectations. You can fill that in. So it went from unplanned circumstances, things that just happen out of the ordinary, to now the unmet expectations. When you expect something to happen and it doesn't happen, you know, that's a tough one. You know, that's a really tough one. I know Brother Taylor, I'm sure, went into surgery expecting it to be one and done. And then it complicated things. And those things are going to happen in life. And we don't plan for that. And those are unmet expectations. And the doctors can tell us everything up front about this can happen and this can, but nothing can prepare you for when it actually does happen. And that's why we need the unchanging word of God. Yep. We've got to fall back on someone and something that does not change, our God and his word. And that's going to keep us constant. So the fear of unmet expectations, we saw it caused Peter's denial, A, and it caused Thomas's doubt. Why? They did not understand everything that was going on with Jesus Christ. It didn't make sense to them. And so Peter denied that he even knew the Lord because some unmet expectations happened. Jesus was going to be crucified. He had told them it was going to happen, but then it actually happened and the unthinkable happened. Peter denied. Thomas doubted that he was even raised from the dead. Although, what did they both have to fall back on? Word of God. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to fall. Yep. And Peter said, I'll die first. Well, that didn't happen. Thomas doubted, and they had the word. He said, 3 days, and I'm going to rise again. So what is it that's constant with Roman number one and Roman number two is that the Bible is constant, and the word of God is constant. So going into Roman number three, we saw the fear of an unknown future. Yep. The fear of an unknown future. What's going to happen tomorrow? We don't know. Right. We know the Kayleys, you know, are going to Korea. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen when we get there? He may get diverted to another base.
Yep.
It's happened to the military before. I was supposed to actually go to Italy one time, sir. Believe it or not. Down there where you were at. And they came back and canceled those orders. And they sent me to Belgium instead. Unknown future. I thought I was going in one direction. Yep. They sent me in another direction. I thought, okay. I wanted to go to Italy. I might have probably would have saw y'all over there. What year were you there?
93 to 96.
Okay, this was 88 for me. And so I could have watered the ground for you guys. Amen. England. So a fear of an unknown future, you know, and instead of focusing on what we don't know, the emphasis here is focusing on what we do know. And A is Jesus prophesied the future. Jesus prophesied the future. And he prophesied, number one, his death and resurrection. And we do know that. Mm-hmm. He prophesied his death and resurrection. So instead of us majoring on what we don't know, let's major on what we do know. And it's the future, his death and resurrection. And then number two, we do know he prophesied his second coming. Mm-hmm. We know that he said he was going to die and raise again the third day, which he did. We also know that he said he's coming. And by the way, he is coming.
Yes, sir, he is.
One just has to look at the news and see the sign of the times and see the handwriting on the wall. More ISIS attacks, more things of that nature going on, more hate crimes going on, which is going to necessitate hate laws against gays and homosexuals and things like that. And it's just going to usher in the realm of the Antichrist.
Yep.
His ruling is going to be a lawlessness. There's going to be everybody's got to have laws and rights except Christians.
Right.
Amen. By the way, the Islamists can get away with things that Christians can't get away with. You know that?
Right.
And this is supposed to be a nation founded upon God. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk about Allah all day long, but as soon as you mention Jesus Christ, then folks all up in arms. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Separated of church and state. You can't do that. But they can talk about Allah.
Yeah.
It's a sign of the times. Amen. So looking at this, we do know some things that we want to focus on in an unknown future to take away some of the fear. Jesus prophesied the future. He prophesied his death, resurrection. He prophesied his second coming. Now, B is going to take us into a different direction. By the way, let me share a song with you here. In your hymn books, there's a song, How Can I Fear? I want you to notice the lyrics to this song here. If you got a hymn book in front of you, go to hymn number. Let's see. Is it 412? Go to 412 in your hymn book. Hmm? 412. You say, Brother Duffy, how does she know? And notice the lyrics here. When shadows fall and night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. Isn't that descriptive of the future?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. How many know what's going to happen tomorrow?
I don't know.
None of us.
I don't know.
No. Yeah, we can plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we have schedules, and we should plan, and we should have schedules. But we don't know if it's going to happen. When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. Mm-hmm. So he says, when I can't see, Jesus is still there. Notice stanza number two. When I'm alone and I face the unknown. What are we talking about here? Unknown future.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear what the future may be. I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when you don't know that future, Jesus says, I know. And just go with me and you'll be fine. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, whatever needs to happen, Jesus is going to make sure that it happens. Even if you plan it or don't plan it.
Right.
Number three, the Kayleys mentioned that they had two miscarriages before they got baby. God knew that was going to happen. They didn't plan that. Nobody plans to have a miscarriage. I don't think people plan that. That's just, it's not in the makeup of mankind. And so the first one came. That's disappointing. That hurts.
Mm.
Then the second one happened. That's disappointing. And that hurts. And you begin to question God and say, God, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But then the third one comes and you think, okay, I can live peacefully now. A little bit better, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And so notice stanza number three. Jesus is king. He controls everything. Would that be our circumstances as well? Yes, it would.
Yes.
He is with me each night and each day. I can trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. So the song basically is saying that when we don't know what's going on, Jesus is still there and he's constant and he's watching over us and leading us and guiding us and directing us. And so how can I fear when Jesus is near is a song that you and I can sing. Going into this area here, we don't know what's coming in the future. We do know that several things have been planned, but you and I don't have to live in fear and doubt because Jesus is going to return for his children. He is coming. There's a reason why it's called the rapture. He's going to have to snatch us out because we don't know when he's going to come.
That's right, Pastor.
Now, if you're like most Christians are late for just about everything. And we were having to punch our clock for the rapture. Some of us will probably miss it. It's just being honest. Amen. I mean, we got things to do. We got things going on. Carlene says, not me. I'm not going to miss it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be early. I'm going to be an hour early. Amen. Call that shuttle. Amen. So if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts should not be troubled and we can have complete confidence in him. But I want to bring up something to you here. B says this. We do know that Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe.
Mm-hmm.
So let's fill that in. Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe.
Hmm?
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute here. Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe. Okay. Now, did they give you guys Luke 24, 46 and 47 there? Okay. Let's look at that for a moment. I want to give you something here. Luke 24. And I want you to be real with me this morning because that's the only way to be. Amen. Luke 24, and we're talking about facing an unknown future and having fear of an unknown future. Jesus prophesied the future. His death, resurrection, he prophesied. His second coming he prophesied, but then Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe. 24 and verse 46 says this, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, remission of sin, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So if I'm going to believe, I've got to believe something. Notice what it says. Thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer and rise the third day, the dead the third day. What did Christ die for?
Sin.
Our sins.
Sin.
And so if it behooved him, or he needed to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached, whose sins need to be remitted? And who needs to do some repenting? Sinners. And so if this is going to be preached, I'm going to have to believe, when it says all who believe, that Christ died for my sins, and that I am the guilty party, and that I need to repent and have my sins remitted. So notice what it says. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached. What is not preached most times these days out of those two?
Repentance.
Repentance. You can keep your sins. You can keep your ways. And you just come on through the pearly gates and have it all. No, no. Perish the thought. If Jesus died for sin, I don't think he's going to let it in heaven. So repentance needs to be preached. And then remission of sins. But now, how can I come to the point that I understand that I am a sinner? Conviction of the Holy Spirit is one thing. What's something else? How can I know that I'm a sinner? Word of God. The Word of God's got to be preached so that men can see themselves in light of God's Word and God's holiness. And so when God's Word is preached, it sets a standard of godliness and holiness. And we see that we don't meet the mark. And that's what sin means, to miss the mark. All have sinned, missed the mark. And so God's Word's got to be preached, and God's Holy Spirit works on that Word. So notice what it says here. And the repentance and remission of sin should be preached, that if you repent, you can have your sins remitted. In his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. But let me pose something to you here. Because this is something that I went through as a baby Christian. Yes, Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe. But my fear was this. Now, I don't know if you had this fear as a baby Christian, but I did. What happens if the rapture happens and Jesus forgets about me? As a baby Christian, I had that thought.
Yeah.
What if the rapture happens and there I am sitting, minding my own business, and then everybody's gone but me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus forgot about me.
Wow.
Anybody else ever had that fear? That was a fear of mine.
Yeah.
When I first got saved, I thought, well, wait a minute. If Jesus come, what if he forgets about me?
Right,
I mean, there's a lot of people around this world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's billions of people. What if he forgets about me? And I had a fear. Lord, what do I have to do to make sure you don't forget me?
Mm-hmm.
What could you tell a baby Christian that's struggling with something like that? Because that's a real fear. That's a scary fear.
Yeah, it is.
When you have that kind of a fear, what are you doing instead of trusting in the Lord?
Trusting in yourself.
So you're trying to go back and do instead of saying it's done. And you're trying to make yourself presentable to God when he's already presented you in his son.
Mm-hmm.
And so you live in a constant state of, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Talking to my sister when she was following Islam. And I said, how can you be sure you're going to heaven? She said, well, you've got to pray five times a day facing Mecca. You've got to do that thing saying Allah has got no prophet but Muhammad. You've got to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. You've got to give a certain percentage to the poor. And there was five things that she said they had to do. And I said, OK. I said, well, let me ask you this question. What if God said, I wanted you to give to 10 agencies, but you only gave to 9? And she said, well, Allah could do that. I said, then what would happen to you? She said, then I'd go to hell. I said, what about if you didn't pray every day five times? You prayed four times a day. What's going to happen to you? She said, well, I would still go to hell. I said, well, how about if you can't make a pilgrimage to Mecca? Pretty expensive to go there. Well, there's concessions for this, that, and the other. I said, let's just suppose that you did everything humanly possible that you thought Allah wanted you to do, but then you got to heaven. And he said, you know, you did 9 out of 10. Sorry, you can't come to heaven. And he sends you to hell. I said, doesn't that just sound like Russian roulette? Mm-hmm. I said, well, Jesus Christ, it's already done. I said, the only thing I've got to do is put my faith and trust in him, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that he died as me, he died for me, he died on the cross for my sins, believe that, repent of my sins, turn to him, he'll save me, and I said, guess what, I'm in.
Amen.
And the answer is, that's too easy.
Yep.
But wait a minute. If God wants me to be in heaven and he loves me, don't you think he's going to make it a little bit easy for me to get there? Mm-hmm. Who did the hard part? Jesus.
Yep.
You know, we only have one life.
That's right.
And that stumped her. That stumped her. She thought, what do I need to do? I said, well, this is what I did. This is what the Bible teaches. To this day, she's in transition from that faith to something that she doesn't know about at this point. But she's in transition, she calls it. What else can you, what's that? It bothers her a whole lot. It bothers her a whole lot. She actually told my parents to make me stop talking about Jesus. And that always kind of, you know, did something to me. If people don't believe Jesus is true and what he says is true, why does it bother them so? Because it does bother them, because it is true. And the Holy Spirit makes sure that they're uncomfortable, because if they don't get saved, that will be replayed. Remember all those days you were uncomfortable and you did nothing about it? There was a reason why you're uncomfortable. You know, I mean, the name of Jesus divides, and people don't recognize that. You can say all you want to say and say, well, no, we say to serve the same God. No, we don't serve the same God. I beg to differ. The name of Jesus Christ divides, and it pits people against another, because I'm either going to be for Jesus or I'm going to be against him. I mean, you can't have it. It's not Burger King. You can't have it your way.
Amen.
And the name of Jesus bothers people. And that's why they're trying to get Jesus out of schools and get his name out of everything. You can't pray in Jesus' name. Just pray in God's name. Well, my God happens to be threefold, Father, Son, and the Spirit. And so I've got to include Jesus in this. And he said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll hear it. I'll do it. And so I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. And I tell you, man, folks are getting in arms about that. Oh, we don't want that name here. Because it's a name that separates. And it's a name that divides. So what do you tell a Christian like me early on when he doubts that the rapture is going to get him caught up and he's going to get missed? What do you say to that Christian?
Trust his word.
By the way, my wife told me that. And you know what my reply was to her? Don't you think I'm trying? You know, there's trying and then there's trusting.
Yep.
Don't try, trust.
Right.
It's done. You got to believe it. By the way, if I got saved by faith, I've got to continue by what?
Faith.
If I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, then I've got to trust that the same word that saved me, mm-hmm. the same word he's going to come back and get me.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Amen. It's a fact. And so early on in my Christian life, when I thought about this, I couldn't find comfort and peace in the fact of knowing that Jesus was coming back, because I was afraid that if he does come back, he might forget me.
Right.
All I do is trust that the word of God was true. And my wife said, all you got to do is believe this is the word of God. I said, don't you think I'm trying to do that? But I was making it more complicated than it was. The equivalent would be the child who is running, and the parent says, jump. And the child says, are you going to what?
Catch me.
And the parent says, you will never know until you what? Jump. But how can I be sure you're going to catch me? And you can go back and forth. You'll never know until you jump. But what if you drop me? You'll never know until you jump. Amen. And so that's that dilemma that I found myself in. Jesus was saying, jump and trust me. And I was saying, but are you going to catch me? What happened? My faith wasn't as strong as I thought it was. Now, is that person any less saved than the next person? No, they just don't. They haven't appropriated the necessary faith and trust in the written word of God. And once I got that thing settled, man, I ran faster than, what's that guy in the Olympics from Jamaica? That fast guy, Bolt, Samane Bolt, or Samane? Usain Bolt, you know, Usain Bolt, amen, I bolted. And so looking at the piece there, Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe, and though Jesus is going to get us. Not only he tells us the future in this life, he tells about eternity also. And every one of us is going to be somewhere forever. Amen. Did you know that?
Amen.
Everybody's going to be in one place or the other, heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. There's no in between. There's no second chances. Before I got saved, I always had this idea. I'll get to heaven and plead my case to the Lord. And if he's a merciful God, and if he loves me the way it says for God so loved the world, then he should hear my plea. You know what his plea is going to be? You should have heard my son. Mm-hmm. When he pleaded up on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But wait a minute. I didn't know if that was true. Yes, you did. You knew it in your heart. Mm-hmm. And you denied it. And so all my life growing up, I was trying to just get away from that and deny that. But everybody's going to spend in heaven or hell, one of those two. Amen. So B is Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe. By the way, let me give you something that you want to make sure of when we come down here. All have sinned, he says. Number one, Romans 3:10. Let's look at that. 3:10. And these are verses that we all know. Romans 3:10 and 3:23. Romans 3:10. And who's got 3:10 that can read that for me? Romans 3:10. Serge? As it is written, there's none righteous. So does that exclude anybody or does that include everybody? That includes everybody. What about Islamic people? Include them too?
All.
All is all.
All is all. That's right, Pastor.
He says there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. God puts it in their heart. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. How many? No, not one. Amen. So, number one under B is all have sinned. So we know that all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. 3:23. Serge, go do that one for me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Jesus prophesied heaven for all who believe. So we know that future is coming, that if we have repented of our sins and we've gotten to this point, recognized that we were a sinner, then we've got some help here. Amen. Let's do this here. And Jeff, give this to the gentleman back there. See, he doesn't have a book here. We've got a book coming to you, sir. And not one person that's reading this book is perfect. All of us fail to measure up to the divine standard of God's holiness. We were perfect. We wouldn't need to be saved. And so there, right there, is when he talks about in Luke how a repentance and remission of sin should be preached. This is why men need to repent, because they're sinners.
Amen.
They're sinners. Now, it's not popular today. Joel Osteen will not call sin, sin.
That's right.
You say, preacher, you're not supposed to name names. I'm naming names.
Yeah.
He won't call sin, sin. Neither will he say that if you don't get right and get your life saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. He won't say it. He said that's not his ministry. It's other. Now, if you call the priest, that's your ministry. I'm sorry. That's your ministry. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached. And so repentance needs to be preached. And now, with this, all have sinned. What do I have to come to the realization of that? All have sinned. What do I have to come to the realization of? I have sinned. It's easy to say, well, yeah, everybody sinned. No, we're talking about you, not everybody. Jesus is trying to save you, not everybody at this point. You know, people say, well, you know, we've all sinned. Well, we're not talking about we. We're talking about you. Mm-hmm. People want to generalize that. You know, why do they want to generalize that? It's easier. What does it do? uncomfortable. We don't want to see ourselves in the light of the Word of God. We want some company in our sin. Well, Lord, I'm not as bad as them. Well, I didn't ask you if you were as bad as them. I asked you how bad you are. And we want to do the old comparison. Now, we want to compare to something. What should we compare to? The Word of God. I remember when I was first being dealt with, and I said, well, wait a minute. I know a lot of Christian folk that don't do what I do. I do better than them. And you know what the reply was? We're not talking about Christian folk. We're talking about you. Well, wait a minute, this Christian drinks and smokes and chews, and this one cusses and fusses and beats his wife, and I don't do any of those things. We're not talking about them, we're talking about you. And we want to defuse the attention away from us. Why? To talk about my sin is very uncomfortable and very convicting. So if I'm going to make sure that I can have this future and know this future for sure, and it's for all who believe, and I've got to make sure that I recognize the fact that I have sinned. I've got to repent of my sin, and I've got to request to be saved. Number two is this. We know all may have remission of sins. Remission of sins. The good news is that forgiveness of sins is available to all through the death of Christ. Why? Because Christ shed his blood on the cross. Our sins can be covered if we trust in the sacrificial death on our behalf. So now, listen to this here. If I'm going to have this be heaven for all who believe, I've got to first of all know that I've sinned and know that I can have remission of sins. Several things need to come into place. Number one, I've got to repent.
Yep.
What does that mean? That means I was going this way away from Christ. Repent means to turn around, have a change of mind, a change of heart, which leads to a change of direction and go towards Christ and turn my back on that which I know is not right to that which I know is right. So I've got to repent. Then I've got to do something. Just because I repent, that doesn't mean anything. I've got to ask to be saved.
That's right.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
And by the way, folks say, well, God knows my heart. God knows your heart, but do you know your heart? And that's the better question. God knows your heart, but do you know your heart? You know, and people normally get what they ask for. If you don't ask for it, why should you get it?
Yeah.
How many of y'all walk through the grocery store and you don't ask for anything and you get all your groceries put in your shopping cart?
Oh, boy.
All about it. People just come by and say, here, I know you need toilet paper. I know you need eggs. I know you need this. And, you know, by the time you get it, they knew exactly. They don't know what you need.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even know what you need. That's why we take grocery lists with us. Amen.
Yes,
and so we've got to be sure that we repent and then we request to be saved. Go over to Romans chapter 3. Go up to verse number. I'm sorry. Go to chapter number 10. Because what we want to do is have this assurance that heaven is going to be for me if I believe, because there's so much in the future that we don't know. There's one thing that we do want to know. We want to know that we're going to heaven. And we've got to recognize that we have sinned and that we need remission of our sins. And so Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's why we send missionaries. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah say, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God.
Word of God.
And so I've got to make sure that I repent of my sins, request to be saved, and receive Jesus Christ and receive this remission of sins. By the way, go back to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And in the Gospel of John, verse number 12. Somebody read verse number 12 for me. John chapter 1, verse 12. Who's got that? Sam, you got that? Read that for me. Amen. As many as received him. What does receive mean? To be presented with something and it's given to you, then you take it into your possession.
Yep.
That is personal. When you buy a house, what do they? What is the one of the most precious things that you're waiting for when you buy a house? receiving the keys.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
When I receive the keys, I got access, buddy. I can get in when I want to. Amen. Now, I don't care about all the rest of the stuff. When I sign that paperwork, I'm waiting for the keys.
The keys, Pastor.
When I receive the keys, that means I can get in, buddy.
Yes, sir.
And so as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Again, what does that word on means? I've got to rest upon it, rely upon it, and not anything else. That's it. What was the one thing that I wasn't doing when I was doubting my salvation and doubting that Jesus was going to come get me on the rapture? I wasn't resting on what he told me he would do. And I thought, there's got to be something else I can do to solidify the deal, tangible, that I can see. And God said, no, that's why it's called faith. You trust me. When rapture comes, I'm coming for you. If I said it, I mean it. I said, I'd save you. I saved you. And so I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming back to get you.
That's right, Pastor.
He said, in my Father's house, a mini mansion, when I saw, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And so once I got that down, I thought, wow, I can be confident now, man. I can go to bed with my head down, amen, and I can rest good now, amen. And that started me on the road, amen. So 2 Corinthians says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Because if I am believing in Christ and I am recognizing I'm a sinner and I have remission of sins, how can I be sure that I'm saved? The Bible says if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I don't view things the way I used to. Things are different now. I look at things differently. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There should be a new desire. There should be a new outlook on life. Everything should be new. If everything's the same, you probably didn't get saved.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. Ms.
Dawson.
That
makes me think of Uncle Willie. you know, you're
Uncle
talking about your know, just trusting in the word, you know, what God has to say for your salvation. And it's so sad because he really believes that he's saved. He's a preacher, even though he dates a lot of women in his church. And but he really trusts in the light that he saw one day.
Mm-hmm. See the fruit of salvation. Amen. And Carmen's speaking about our uncle that we'll probably see when we go back home, who has a church and has a testimony of being in the barber shop and, you know, got laid back to get a shave and saw this bright light. And after he got up, he knew he was saved. That's his testimony. And, you know, I told him, you know, what the Bible says. Carmen gave him her testimony. I gave him my testimony. And that afternoon, he had a heart attack that afternoon. And still hasn't recanted on his salvation testimony, though. So. It did shake him up. It shook him up. We go home. We don't see him often when we go home now. We see him all the time. Exactly. Exactly. So the encouragement that we can leave this chapter off with is that there's going to be some unknowns in our future, but there's certain things that we don't have to fear. And that is the future. Jesus prophesied his death, resurrection. He prophesied his second coming. He prophesied heaven for all who believe, and all have sinned, and all can have remission of sins. If they trust Christ as Savior, repent of their sins, they can be born again. And that's the whole crux behind that. We don't have to have that fear, and we can have victory over some of the greatest of fears that are out there in our lives. Amen. Because the greatest fear that we have is what happens to us when we die. We can be bankrupt. I mean, kids can go away. We can have a lot of things happen. But the greatest danger that plagues us is the fear of what happens to me when I die. And so we can get that taken care of. Amen. So our memory verse is going to be 1 Peter 5:8 for the next chapter. 1 Peter 5:8. We're going to close with that. 1 Peter 5:8, victory over fear. And we're going to look at some other fear issues as well before we actually go into chapter number two or lesson number two next lesson when we get together. But I want us to have memory verse as 1 Peter 5:8. And next class we get together, we'll uncover some of the areas that Brother Serge had listed down for us. We won't get a chance to go through all of them, but you are welcome to get a copy of those notes if you so desire. And we'll look at that the next time we get together. And we won't be together for another two Sundays because I'll be out. Pray for Brother Serge and Brother Leslie. Brother Leslie has next Sunday. Brother Serge has the following Sunday after that. And they have some good titles. Thank you there. I appreciate that. Some good titles. Amen. Brother, you want your title to be secret or do you want to cut that out? What's your pre-done? Amen. Serge has taken the topic on alternate lifestyles or the homosexual agenda right now. And so that's a hot topic right now, not just politically, but religiously as well. Do pray for him as that is a much highly debated topic, much like immigration was a couple weeks ago when Brother Ken Duffy did that. Those are hot topics right now. But that's the world in which we live. Amen. So let's make sure we commit those men to memory and prayer, trusting God to work in their lives. Pray for us as we'll be out starting Wednesday night. We'll be out as well. So pray for us as well. Let's go ahead and get dismissed. Father, thank you for the ability that we can have through the word of God that we don't have to worry about the future in regards to our salvation and you coming back to take us home to heaven. Well, we just have to repent of our sins, receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray you work in our midst in a marvelous and miraculous way like only you can. Lord, we thank you for the men that are standing in my absence in the next 2 weeks. Brother Leslie and Brother Serge, give them the boldness of the Spirit, the wisdom and the balance and the control that the Holy Spirit provides with the Word of God. We pray that the messages will be timely and will edify and build us up in the faith. And we'll thank you for it all. Bless our refreshments as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right, you are dismissed. Don't forget the Kayleys are departing here shortly, so make sure you get a chance to say hello to them.